It is good to be here with you today, with those who call Messiah home and family, with friends of Messiah, with those worshiping with us online, having this opportunity to spend time together in God's Word. It's around what has been our theme for the season of Lent. We're calling it the Way of Love. And we've been taking a closer look at Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then as we explore these different things of what love is and is not, we're seeing what other parts of Scripture have to say as it teaches us to experience and to live in the way that God loves us. And today in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, we are reminded that love does not insist on its own way. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for today, this opportunity to be present together with you, with one another. And so as we sang together, Lord, yes, it is good. You are good and great is your love. And so teach us more and more to trust in you, to live by faith, to live first experiencing the love that you have for us and then loving you, loving others in the way that you love us so faithfully. Teach us this way in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, we're jumping right in this morning. We're starting with what Max Lucado says in his book, A Love Worth Giving. And he says, you are a victim, a disease carrier. You have shown the symptoms and manifested the signs. You have a case of, brace yourself, selfishness. Selfishness. Now, some of you I hear chuckling. And I know, right, we're like, yeah, okay, selfishness, I get it. But do we really get it? Case in point. Here, what you see on the screen is a recent family picture that we've taken. And I'm guessing some of you, many of you, have taken family pictures also. And when we receive those pictures back, what's the first thing you look for? Be honest. If you're like me, you look for yourself. How do I look in that picture? And then usually it's a family picture. If it's like it is in our house, then we have lots of pictures to choose from, and we have to decide what's going to be the best picture, the favorite picture, the picture that's going to go, you know, framed above the fireplace. And so which one do you like? How do we base that decision? We base it on what we look like. Right? So there might be in the picture, like, everyone looks amazing, but there's that picture of you, and you're like, well, I don't look so good, right? And you're like, I don't like that picture. But then there's that picture where others, you know, their eyes are closed, they're looking the other way, but you look so good. And you're like, now that's the picture I love. That's the one that's going above the fireplace. You see, deep within all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, there is this thing that we call selfishness. By definition, this is what selfishness means. Selfishness means a lacking consideration for others while being chiefly concerned for one's own pleasure. And selfishness has a way of showing up at many different times in many different ways. Another way to think about selfishness is this. Selfishness is a self-preoccupation that at times hurts others. And the thing about selfishness, again, it has a way of hurting not just those around us, but it hurts also our relationships, even our relationship with God. You see, Martin Luther, he had a way of talking about selfishness, and I'm going to spare you having me try to speak it in the Latin. I'm just going to give you the English translation today. He talked about it as curved inward on ourselves. I want you to think about that picture for a moment, being curved inward on ourselves, because you see, if we are honest as human beings, we're really good at times at bending everything toward ourselves. And as I mentioned, selfishness, as it is played out in everyday life, it has a way of damaging relationships, even relationships among those we love the most, even our relationship with God. It is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, as Paul talks about the things that love is and is not, he says, love does not insist on its own way. In other words, love is not selfish. It's not. And so, what does love look like then, if it's not selfish? Well, consider these words for a moment. Consider words recorded in Philippians chapter 2. If you want to know what a love looks like that does nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but rather with humility, considers others more important, putting the needs before one's own needs. If you want to consider what this love looks like, then we need to look no further than to Jesus. If you have your Bibles, and if those Bibles are still open, look with me again at our reading that Tom shared from John chapter 15. Again in verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide, live, be present in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus says, I want you to live in the way that I have loved you. Jesus says, live this way, and you will have joy. Have you heard it explained before? Again, the simple understanding of joy, right? There's an order to it. It's the great command. What does Jesus say? First, love. Love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Jesus first. Then love others as ourself, yourself. And that brings joy. That's what Jesus says. This is what I want, and this is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus says to his disciples gathered around him, you are my friends. To fully appreciate Jesus' words here, it's important that we understand the context of these words in John chapter 15, meaning we need to understand where and when Jesus speaks these words. Now, where? Where is he speaking them? Well, it's in the upper room. It's in the upper room, gathered with his disciples during Holy Week, what we refer to as Maundy Thursday. And when he speaks these words, it's before he gets ready to go out to the garden to pray. It's before he is then betrayed with a kiss, denied by Peter, where all of his disciples flee. And he is arrested and led away to be crucified for the sins of the world. But Jesus also speaks these words after. After he's done something. If you have your Bibles, go back to John chapter 13. In John's gospel, this is where we're told what's happening within the upper room. The things leading up to what Jesus says in John chapter 15. In John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having what?" If your Bibles are open, having loved. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It says, "During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he, Jesus, not the servant, not the lowest of servants that we would expect, but he, Jesus, poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." In other words, having loved his own, who were in the world, Jesus now shows them the full extent of his love. He shows them an example of what this looks like, something they won't fully understand in this moment, but soon they would. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. The very feet of those he knows. He knows exactly what's in their hearts. He knows exactly what they are about to do. He knows that the feet that he is washing in that moment, soon they will flee from him. He knows that of the feet he's washing, one will betray him with a kiss. Another will deny him not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus knows. And yet, he still shows them love. Not just any sort of love, an unconditional love, a no strings attached love, a sacrificial love, a love that is shown in a willingness to put the needs of others before your own. A love that instead of being selfish, sacrifices. A love that is willing to lay down one's life for a friend. Consider these words again from Max Lucado, this time in a different book, titled Just Like Jesus. He writes, "The one, Jesus, before whom all nations will one day kneel, he now kneels before his disciples. Hours before his own death, Jesus' concern is singular. He wants his disciples to know how much he loves them. And more than removing dirt, in this moment, in this act, Jesus is removing doubt." Jesus is removing doubt. Whether it's in John's gospel or the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the word used for love is agape. And agape is a very special love. Agape is a sacrificial love. Agape is a love that lays down your life, that puts the needs of others before your own. Agape is an unconditional, no strings attached sort of love. It is a love for even the unlovable. I'm curious, have you ever thought of yourself in that way, as being unlovable? Maybe because of something you've done, something you've said, something that was done maybe to those that you love more than anything else. We all at times feel that way. And we think of our way, we see our way, not in the way that God sees us. And so sometimes, just like with the disciples, we need Jesus to remove not just the filth and the dirt from our lives, but even the doubt. Especially when it comes to doubting whether or not God loves us and forgives us and is able to restore even other relationships that are broken and hurting. And so today, more than anything else, what I want you to know is that this is how much God loves you. The cross is a reminder of how much God loves you. When Jesus stretches out his arms on the cross, it is his way of saying, "This is how much I love you." That he is willing to lay down his life for you, for me, for someone that he calls friends. And so, dear friends in Christ, no matter what circumstances you have faced or are facing, no matter how you at times see yourself or think of yourself, I want you to know today how God sees you, how he thinks of you, how he loves you so, so very much. You see, on the cross, we come to see that the love is the person of Jesus. Love is the work of Jesus. God is love. Consider these words of Paul in Romans chapter 5. "But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, Jesus is a friend like no other. And he loves us like no other. Again, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 15, beginning with verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus says, you are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then verse 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Of all the many titles that Jesus is known of, one of my favorites is Friend of Sinners. And one of the things that I love about this title is that it was given to Jesus by the Pharisees. The religious leaders gave this title to Jesus to be an insult. And Jesus is like, you have no idea. Jesus embraces the title Friend of Sinners. In fact, he goes on to say that this is his mission. This is why he came, to save sinners, even at times selfish sinners like you and me. And the result of Jesus' death, the result of his resurrection, the result of his unconditional love and his friendship to you and me is that he, Jesus, transforms our hearts, our lives, making it possible for us to love the very way that he first loves us. Simply said, we are free to love the way that Jesus first loved us. Don't miss verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 15. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I first loved you. And then we get to live that love out, first for God, then for others. And so, in the various situations of life where we find ourselves, a question that we might ask is, in these different situations, among these different people, what is the most loving thing that I can do? I appreciate what the author in his book, John, the Gospel of Light and Life, Adam Hamilton, he says it this way. He says, love is found in the small things and sometimes in the big things. It is more than just a feeling. It is a way of acting. Love is meant, as we mature in Christ, to become second nature. Love shows itself in a thousand ways, sharing meals and cards at the loss of a loved one, taking off work to be with the family during surgery, supporting others when they are down. It is mowing another person's yard, taking care of his neighbor's dog when an emergency calls them out of town. It is leaving an extra tip for the person who cleans your room at the hotel. Love is meant to be the rhythm of our lives. It is our daily mission. You see, each and every day as we live our lives, we are meant to not just live, but love in the way that Jesus loves us. It's why here at Messiah, our mission is simply to love God, to love others, and to share Christ. And if you're wondering, well, how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, the love that Jesus invites us into, it does not insist on its own way. It is not selfish. It is instead unconditional, sacrificial, a love that is willing to lay down its life for friends. And Jesus says, you are my friend. My hope and prayer today, dear friends, is that by the Holy Spirit alive within each of us, that we will first know how much God loves us. And then we who experience this love, my hope and prayer is that we will love in the way that Jesus first loves us. To him be praise, glory, and honor, and all of God's people said, amen.